Our scripture for today comes from the Gospel of John. This happens to be John 19. We begin in the 16th verse and we'll read through 30. So John 19, 16 through 30. Then Pilate handed Jesus over to them to be crucified. So they took charge of Jesus. He went out carrying his cross and came to the place of the skull, as it is called. In Hebrew, it is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and they also crucified two other men, one on each side with Jesus between them. Pilate wrote a notice and had it put on the cross, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, is what he wrote. Many people read it because the place where Jesus was crucified was not far from the city. The notice was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. The chief priest said to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but rather, this man said, I am the King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written stays written." After the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier. They also took the robe, which was made of one piece of woven cloth without any seams in it. The soldiers said to one another, "Let's not tear it. Let's throw dice to see who will get it." This happened in order to make the scripture come true. They divided my clothes among themselves and gambled for my robe. And this is what the soldiers did. Standing close to Jesus' cross were his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Jesus saw his mother and the disciple he loved standing there. So he said to his mother, "He is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "She is your mother." From that time, the disciple took her to live in his home. Jesus knew that by now everything had been completed. And in order to make the scripture come true, he said, "I am thirsty." A bowl was there full of cheap wine, so a sponge was soaked in the wine, put on a stalk of hyssop, and lifted up to his lips. Jesus drank the wine and said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Words from God for you today. Praise be to God. Let's pray. Lord, in these next moments, may we hear from you. In the name of your crucified Son, I pray. Amen. I mention it every once in a while because it has really struck my life so much, and that's Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ. I hope you've seen it, and if not, I hope you will. This time of year, you can find it on Netflix. You can find it other places, but I think it's a valuable tool in remembering, in strengthening our faith. I know it's Hollywood, and I know it's exaggerated a little bit. But I think maybe it's a little closer to the truth than any of us would want to admit. Each time I see that movie, it's hard for me to realize that Jesus went to the cross willingly. He went through the arrest, the trial, all of that. It's hard to watch in the movie, The Scourging. You've all heard, or maybe you've studied, that scourging was such a terrible thing. It was meant by the Roman soldiers to weaken the person who was going to be crucified so that they would die quicker. It was awful punishment. It was reserved for the worst of the worst of criminals. And when it comes up in the movie, I have to turn my eyes away. You see, when I see that, then I realize it was my sin that put him there. I recognize that it's your sin too, all of ours collectively, but it was a part of it. Jesus died a very excruciating death on the cross so the price could be paid. The price for our disobedience to a holy God. And so every once in a while, the question rolls around in my head, was it really necessary for something so awful to happen to my Lord? Was it really necessary? And then I pray, and like you, I've read the scriptures and Old Testament and New, and then I understand once more, oh yes, it was necessary. Oh yes, it was the only way. Oh yes. Jesus was on the cross and he cried out. He said, "It is finished." That was just before he breathed his last. So what is it that he had finished? You see, he had a destiny. From the moment God sent him here, from the moment he was born, he had a destiny, and this would fulfill that. But there was a great purpose to it, and I want to explain by talking about the highway up by Green Bay. Have you been up Highway 41 in the last year or so? In the Green Bay area, it's a mess. They have torn out overpasses, and that shut down roads that you usually took to get here and there for weeks and sometimes months. They have replaced those bridges, and then leading up to them, they've put in our beloved roundabouts just to frustrate us as we drive. And it seems like every time I have to go that way, they've moved the traffic lanes. Where I remember last time you could go here, it's over there, or if it's over here. And every time I go there, there's more paving being done. There's more concrete being laid. And I cannot wait until all of that paving is finished and the new roads are there. I bring that up because you see, Jesus' mission, his destiny really was paving the way. Paving the way for the lost to be saved. Listen to this. This is Luke 19:10. "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." You know who the lost are, don't you? Those are the people who just don't know Jesus yet. They don't know that he is God. They don't know that Jesus holds the keys of hell and death. And they don't know that through the resurrection, Jesus has overcome death once and for all. And maybe the toughest thing that they don't know is they don't know that they need to be saved. So what is it that these people that don't know need to be saved from? And it's real simple. They need to be saved from their sins. It is clear in the scriptures, the wages of sin is death. We're talking about sin that is a part of them that they don't recognize, that is under the judgment of God. And because of their sin, they might well spend eternity, because even though the wages of sin is death, we are eternal beings. But they might wind up having to live all of eternity without having the presence of God with them. That's really why hell is hell, is because God is not there. Jesus has the remedy. 1 John 3:5. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. And in him is no sin. It is Jesus and Jesus alone that is the sacrifice for all sinners, for the forgiveness of sin. And then we read this too from Hebrews 9:22. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. I want you to remember that. This is part of the Levitical law. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And all of the story in the Old Testament of the Hebrews, they understood that they needed to have their sins cared for, and the way to do that was the sacrificial system. You would bring animals to the priest and they would be sacrificed on the altar, and the blood would be drained. The shedding of blood had to occur for sins to be forgiven. And this went on weeks and months and years and literally centuries just that way. Once a year for all the sins of everybody, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies. This is on the Day of Atonement. We also know it as Yom Kippur. And sacrifices would be made, and there would be two goats involved in this sacrificial day. One would be slaughtered on the altar. The other would be kept alive. And then the high priest would grab it by its head and symbolically place on it all the sins for the last year of the Hebrew people. There was a person that was then designated to take the goat out into the wilderness and release it. And then the sins would be carried away. They would be taken away. They call that goat the scapegoat. And so there was an understanding in the Hebrew people. There was something that had to be done to cover the nation's sins. And when Jesus came, it was not a thing anymore. It was someone. In the New Testament, this sacrifice of Jesus. Well, listen to this. Hebrews 2:17. For this reason he, being Jesus, had to be made like his brothers. He was human just like you and me in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. The scapegoat made atonement for the sins of the people. And now one had come, but there had to be a scapegoat every year. And now one had come that would do this one time forever and for all. For the ones who know and the ones that just don't know yet, Jesus would be once and for all. But in order to shed his blood, it was in a terrible way to make atonement for the people. Jesus' mission was to come and rescue the people. And Jeannie, this is the place for it. This is the desperation band, if you will just listen to their song, Rescue.
Jesus, come to my
We, like all people, need to be rescued. And there is no other way. That's why the crucifixion was necessary. So that Jesus could give his life so that we might be saved. There's a wonderful story that is told about a mother who dramatically rescued her child in Scotland. There were workmen, they were in a stone quarry and they were blasting to get the stone out. The dynamite had been set. They had given the alarm. The men had retreated to a safe place and they lit the fuse. And that's when they noticed a little boy, a young boy who wandered from where no one knows, but wandered out into the edge of the quarry where the dynamite was set. They waved at the boy. They shouted at the boy. They did everything that they could to get his attention. And the boy thought it was funny. They dare not run out to grab him because they knew at any second the fuse would burn to its end. It was then that the boy's mother showed up. She knew not to yell at the little boy. She knew not to run to him. You know what she did? She kneeled down and with a smile on her face, she opened up her arms. And that little boy ran to her and was saved. It was a little while after that when the dynamite went off. But the boy, he was safe in his mother's arms. And Jesus says, I have come to rescue you. Won't you come to me? Won't you let me wrap my arms around you? Amen.